Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, this beautiful July 8th, episode 1823. That's the 23rd episode of 2018. Last Sunday was supposed to be episode 1823, but as most of you know, hopefully you were following the website, you were able to see on RadioFreeRedoubt.com, where our faithful Polly01 posted, John Jacob is on the road returning from God and country and unable to produce a show. The show is postponed. So here we are with episode 1823. I'm going to air one of my presentations. Friday night, I was talking a little bit more about last Friday evening at God and country, talking about some of the updates, and then also a little bit about what we're facing here with this leftist insurgency in the United States and the coming civil war. I was alluding to that, and that's what I was hoping to air for you last Sunday evening, but they were looking for this audio file and realized they hadn't recorded any of the speakers from Friday night. So that doesn't exist. So you had to have been there. So those of you that were there, it was really great to see you guys. Always good to see you, meet you folks face to face, shake your hands, look you in the eye, and just really encourage one another. It's encouraging for me to be able to see you guys and meet with you, and I love it. I know that it was a blessing. It was really, the whole thing was really designed with just restoration, encouraging one another in mind. It was a much more low-key, lower-profile gathering last weekend, and it was just a blessing. Mark Herr from Center for Self-Governance was there, of course, also with Jeanette Finnicum. She got to give her testimony, and once again, they got to air the first part of a series on Lavoie Finnicum, really bringing him to life. So that was encouraging as well. So unable to do a show last Sunday night. Thank you guys for your grace, for being forgiving when those type of things come up. And then this weekend was when we celebrated our independence from tyranny. Hopefully, you had a blessed and a safe Independence Day. We got to spend it with some patriots, all of us together, shooting weapons, shooting semi-automatic assault rifles. Not really, but they were semi-automatic. They just weren't assault rifles. But we had fun nonetheless. Handguns, combat rifles, the whole works. And actually got to do a game using 22 rifles with scopes, playing Battleship. You ever seen that? The red and the blue team, you try to sink the other battleships and you try to shoot the little dots on the battleships. And, whoever sinks the other fleet first wins. And that was a lot of fun using somebody else's rifles that weren't sighted in, but we just said, what the heck? We're just going to have fun. And I don't think anybody sunk the other's fleet because the rifles that we were borrowing just were not up to the task as far as being sighted in. And we were losing light. We didn't want to spend a whole hour trying to get a rifle sighted in. So we just put those away and got out some fun toys to put some rounds downrange with. And it was a really great time. So anyway, I hope you guys all had a blessed weekend. And this week, I'll talk about it right after the news and commentary. I ran into some folks I didn't even know they exist. The Sons of the American Revolution. Got to see them and some of the material that they had. Got to talk to them for quite a while. And I'll talk about that here in a little bit. But first, the news and commentary brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the partial collapse of our country and the rebuilding. All 10 books out, including the audio, so check it out at 299days.com. I was talking to Glenn Tate this week and also the author Shelby Gallagher. We were supposed to go to a concert, I think a blues concert. They bought some tickets and said, hey, would love for you to be able to go with us. And I was not able to go. Shelby apparently couldn't go. So Glenn was like, ah, I got these tickets. I think he ended up giving them to Representative Matt Shea to put a group of people together or to give away. I'm not sure, but anyway. Okay, so back to the news and commentary. Sorry for the sidetrack there. Haiti, you guys, if you're not paying attention, the State Department put out an information alert urging U.S. citizens in Haiti to continue to shelter in place due to demonstrations, roadblocks, and lots of violence across the whole country. Now, I've got some supplemental information here. This is coming out of Port-au-Prince. Due to continuing demonstrations, roadblocks, and violence across Port-au-Prince and throughout Haiti, U.S. citizens should continue to shelter in place. Do not travel to the airport unless you confirmed your flight is departing. Flights are canceled, and the airport has limited food and water available. Telecommunications services, including internet and phone lines, have been affected throughout Haiti. It may be difficult to reach people through normal communications methods. U.S. Embassy personnel are still under a shelter-in-place order, and the embassy will continue to monitor the situation. So that's what's going on right now. And also, I got an update about 36 hours ago stating that there's a ministry and outreach there, and apparently they are using amateur radio, but they have not heard from them in the last few days. So they're trying to reach them using unconventional radio communications, as you all know, that we are very strong proponents of. So we'll continue to monitor that, but it's just another example of how quickly things can rapidly deteriorate, especially in urban areas where violence can quickly erupt. And this time, apparently, reportedly, allegedly, this is over rising fuel prices and the lack of goods being able to be delivered because of that the fuel situation. So we'll continue watching that. Lessons learned. More lessons learned. Always be ready to have to be self-reliant. Speaking of that, we've got another priority precedence situation report coming out of California with an ongoing incident having to do with the wildfires there, the Klamathon, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, if it's Klamathon or Klamathon fires. And this was from yesterday. There's a lot of updates here. 21,803 acres burned with only 5% contained. Right now, they're reporting, this is an Ameren core operator sending in the situation report. 15 structures have been destroyed so far. The communities of Hornbrook, Hilt, Colliston, and Iron Gate Reservoir. Iron Gate Estates, east of the railroad tracks to Iron Gate Reservoir and from the California state line south to Copco Road. So this is a very specific area right now that they're talking about. But let me get down to this narrative. Let's see. They've got 15 helicopters involved, 5 dozers, 11 water tenders, 31 fire crews, and 88 fire engines with a total of over 1,083 fire personnel involved. So this is big. This is fire season we're talking about that we're coming into. Extreme fire behavior with movement in multiple directions. High potential for spread into the Klamath National Forest, Rogue River. And this covers the whole area though. So there are some folks there that are, as many of them are evacuating or getting ready to evacuate. And this is something that we see every year. And we want to be prepared for this. You might be living in a bug out location where people you'd always plan that they would come to. Well, you might have to bug out of your bug out location. We saw that in the wildfires 3 years ago where folks didn't even really consider a bug out plan because their place is where all of their friends and relatives and loved ones would bug out too in the event of a major emergency. And then they found themselves in an emergency. So always be ready to grab and go if you may not even foresee a situation where you'd be forced to do that, but we see it time and again. Also, we've got the other thing that we've got on the horizon is hurricane season. Hurricane season is here, and this is also sent to me by an Ameren Core operator. I thought it would be worth repeating because we all need to be reminded of it. We have a Hurricane Beryl in Beryl in the South Atlantic and a Tropical Depression number 3 off the East Coast at South Carolina and North Carolina. Now is the time to get your preparations up to snuff. So make sure you service your generators, have extra fuel, oil, spark plugs, air filters and such, and fire those things up to make sure they're running. Keep them fired up once a week or at least once every other week. And at a very bare minimum, once a month, fire it up, let it run for 5 or 10 minutes. It's not going to use that much fuel. It's going to keep everything lubed. It's going to help you ensure that things are working properly. So the things that you might need, the things that disappear first off the shelf, make sure that those are on. You get those now before you have to fight other people for those things. There is a great article by The Federalist, a well-regarded conservative legal resource, regarding California's ongoing attempt to ban the Bible, not directly, of course, but indirectly because, well, that's what communists do, and that's how they roll. So this Federalist article over here, I want to put a link for you guys to go and check that out. The article is titled Snopes, Sneaky Liar, California's Bill Ban Christian LGBT Talk. So I'm going to link that article for you guys as well. And over at Move On, this is something that a listener sent to me. It's about this campaign that at moveon.org they're running called Families Belong Together. And these are materials. This is pro-immigration or anti-border security group, globalists, really, that are helping to perpetuate the invasion of our southern border, and they have all of these resources. Families Belong Together, a chant sheet, posters for you to download, social media images for you to use, all the stuff to tug at people's hearts about not having the families torn apart just because somebody came here undocumented, but they came here illegally. What we're finding out is that also some of these people that are coming are also involved in human trafficking, where it's not even their own children. One woman in, there was Texas. Oh, I wish I would have pulled this article up. Just arrested for selling her children. And now there's speculation, and some say evidence, that these are not even her own children. But set aside from that story, there have been multiple cases here that we're finding out that these are not children at all many times, but MS-13, very violent gang, and some of these people are bringing in children that are not even their own. And let's say that it is. Let's say somebody comes in illegally, they break the law, they get arrested, and now their family's separated. Can you tell me a crime where they take that into consideration before sentencing somebody for committing a crime? If you rob a bank, do they overlook the fact that you should go to jail, but, well, we can't separate families, so we can't send this bank robber to jail? When you commit a crime, you can expect your family to become separated. You cannot say, we can't send this person to prison because they have a family. Well, you should have thought about that. You place your family at risk when you made the choice to break the law. And if anything, you should be arrested for placing your children in a harmful situation in the first place. So anyway, hey, when we come back, I am going to talk about an article that came out in Town Hall. talking about the leftist strategies, I'm talking about the revolutionaries, the left, the hardcore left that is planning to destroy our country. And they are hard at work doing it. They're vile. They are vile. They're violent. And they're calling for more of it. Completely uncivil, completely unchristian. And they've got their sights set on your country, patriots. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Renegade. Radio Free Redoubt here, back with segment two, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, patriot-owned business in the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, helping you and yours and those of you that are strategically trying to get relocated to the panhandle, into the heart of the American Redoubt. If you need help with that, you probably do, then give them a call, selkirkmountainrealestate.com. All right. Before I get into this article here, I want to talk about this organization that I came across. It's really great guys. I heard that there was a Veteran Appreciation Day event going on at Lone Wolf Harley-Davidson dealership in Spokane Valley. So I took the trip up there and stopped in. And the first thing you see, of course, modern military vehicles, including the old Jeeps, but, you know, the deuce and a half, 2.5-ton military trucks and all that, semi-modern, Vietnam, Korea War era, really good to see. But on the right side, it's all Civil War. Civil War, including a Gatling gun, four cannons, all functional. They got the tents, a mock-up of a camp from the Civil War. And the guys are wearing the Civil War uniforms, and they're talking to people and answering questions and handing out information to educate people about the Civil War and all the memorabilia that's goes along with that. Pulled in, went around the backside and talked to these guys, the Sons of the American Revolution, also in American Revolutionary garb. They're wearing the colonial uniforms. Some of the guys are wearing the militia uniforms, but most of these guys, as far as I can tell, they're all descendants of actual founding fathers, and they're documented. The soldiers, captains, generals, and some of the names that we know from the founding of our country, they're all there. And so the Sons of the American Revolution, are you an American patriot? Do you know your family's history? Did your ancestor fight in the American Revolution? Then join. Well, what they do is they have an outreach in each of their communities where they live. And, of course, these guys are somewhere in eastern Washington, but they were in Spokane this time. They have a meet-and-greet veterans honor flights that you actually go in this military aircraft where veterans can go for up to an honor flight. They do presentations of living history presentations in their uniform from the Revolutionary War era at local schools. They do a lot of stuff in the communities for veterans and with the Boy Scouts and young military people, just keeping that heritage alive. Fascinating. So they've got chapters in, if you are in probably anywhere in the country, the Sons of the American Revolution have chapters, but this one was Washington. They have one in George. Believe it or not, there is a George Washington, chapter. There's really a town named George in Washington, Seattle, Cascade Centennial chapter in Bellevue, in Fife, in Bremerton, in Battleground. Yes, that's a real town. And Spokane and Tri-Cities. So if you are in Washington State, this is just a list that I have right now. You can go to their website to learn more This one is WashingtonSAR.org. But just go and do an internet search using DuckDuckGo, of course, something to obscure your search history. And just type in sonsoftheamericanrevolution.org, and you'll see these coming up. So they also have an American flag, the history of our flag, memorial set up at a cemetery in Spokane that I'm going to go visit. They have all of the flags from the American Revolution and on display with a description of what each of those are. And they talk about the evolution of the flag as, you know, starting from the 13 stars all the way up to 50 stars on the American flag and exactly what each of those stars are. You know that each one – I learned something new. Each one of the flags are numbered. No, correct. Each one of the stars belong to a specific state. The star up in the upper left-hand corner is star number one, and that belongs to Delaware. The one directly to the right of it on the top row is Pennsylvania's star, designated as star number two. All the way down to star number 50 in the lower right-hand corner, which belongs specifically to the state of Hawaii. So you can look to see where your state is, and you can see where they were entered into the Union. All of them, almost all of them, were added over the years on July 4th, except for Vermont and Kentucky, which were added on May 1st of 1795, and the 14th of June, 1777, is when the original 13 stars were added, making the 13-star flag. Did you know that the stripes starting from top to bottom also correlate with the star number? Like star number one or position state number one is Delaware. Well, the top red stripe represents Delaware. So the 13 original colonies represents, or those red and white stripes represent each of the colonies as they became states in order. So when you look at those red and white stripes from the top down, the first one is Delaware, followed by Pennsylvania, then New Jersey, Georgia, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maryland, South Carolina, New Hampshire, Virginia, New York, North Carolina, and then Rhode Island. And so those 13 stripes specifically belong to or represent a specific state. Very fascinating. I thought it was interesting. Got some great material from these guys. It was really great to shake their hands and thank them for keeping our heritage alive and really a pleasure to talk to those guys. Okay, now I got an article here I'm going to cover with you real quick. And this is from Town Hall. It says, while you've been busy enjoying your new jobs, provide improved wages, lower taxes, and less government interference in your life, the left has decided that all of those things are immoral. They must be undone. And those who enjoy them must be made to understand that they are not good American citizens, but some sort of participant to hurt others. They would love to say it makes you a racist, except that African Americans and Hispanics are enjoying the best economy they've ever known in American history. They would love to say your lack of desire to give government more and more of what you earn makes you an elitist, except that you aren't. You're creating new companies, hiring more people, and taking control back of your personal choices. This leaves less capital for them to make choices for you and run your life with. Therefore, when all options have been exhausted, their desperation leaves them with only two options. Conform to the new energy transforming life, business, and people in America, or destroy it. Well, so they're working on destroying it. In this article, which I'm going to link for you, it's over at townhall.com. They're displaying raw, unmeasured contempt for you. In the past week, public mobs, always organized by leftist groups, have taken to public harassment of women who merely work for the current administration. Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen was literally shouted at until she left a diner at an eatery near the White House. Of course, they didn't mention also that she had spit in her hair because yelling and screaming so close to her, they're literally spitting on her. And this has happened all week. The piece of garbage that I used to admire as an actor, very talented actor, turned out to be a piece of garbage of a human being, was the entitled leftist celebrity like Robert De Niro Bogart awards shows encouraging viewers to sexually violate the president. Washed up former TV stars like Tom Arnold claim they will harass the first lady and her sons at her son's school. And true Hollywood losers like Peter Fonda claim that Sarah Sanders, as well as Melania Trump's children, should literally be sexually violated by pedophiles and sex traffickers. That's the kind of ilk that we're seeing rise to the top. It needs to be scraped off the top. They believe they can and will eliminate you in a big blue wave in November. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. I'm going to read just the bulleted high points. And then there's a whole paragraph expounding on that. They believe they can and will eliminate you in a big blue wave in November. They no longer, if they ever did, believe in the rule of law, followed by an entire paragraph expounding on that statement. Another one, they have tried to ambush our representative form of governing, believing along the way that they have the right to do so, followed by another paragraph expounding. They will sink to any level necessary, even the prostituting or in some cases the threatened molestation of children to make their point, followed by another full paragraph expounding that. So all of this at the same time when they are working diligently to try to disarm us, as our country descends into a designed, calculated, orchestrated anarchy, now they want us to disarm. I was reading my Bible this week, and I came through Judges. I was reading this section on Judges, Judges 18:27, and it said, and they took the things. This is this invading tribe that came through this town. They took the things which Micah had made, which are basically idols, false, you know, images, false gods. And they took the priest, and they came to Laish, this town called Laish, to a people that were at quiet and secure. And they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. So they laid waste to everybody in town with the sword, and then they burned the place to the ground. And who were these people? Oh, they were people that were quiet and secure. In other words, a sword-free zone. And how'd that work out for them? You know, historically, there's just example after example of people that just didn't want to be reminded of evil in the world, so they banned the means to be able to defend themselves, or they just voluntarily disarm themselves because they want to live quietly and securely. And so they do their part by making sure they're not armed. So somebody who just has a different idea about different worldview can waltz right in and just lay waste to you, put you to the sword, and then burn your city to the ground. Well, patriots, I am a firm believer that, you cannot liberate the oppressed if you don't have the means to resist the oppressor. So stay armed, stay trained. That's just one facet of a whole mosaic. We're going to be talking about that, the coming revolution again, and the insurgency. We're going to revisit this. I've talked about it many times before, but it's worth talking about because this whole flame is turning into a brush fire again. It's not going away anytime soon. Before we go, socialismtoday.info. If you guys have not heard about this, I ran into the guy, the editor at the Gem State Patriot, and it is a website that they put together called socialismtoday.info. Excellent. Well, it is a repository of articles exposing socialism for what it is. And, you know, these articles they put out about, oh, Holland or, you know, the Scandinavian countries are the happiest countries on earth. And of course, they always pick the socialist countries as the happiest societies on earth. But there's another side to that. And this socialismtoday.info does an excellent job. If you haven't done so, please check it out. I'm fascinated by it. I can't wait to get through and read article after article after article that they have compiled from different sources, exposing socialism for what it is. Stay right there. Coming back, segment three, I'm going to share with you one of my presentations in segment three and four, and share that with you tonight from last weekend at God and Country. So stick around. This is Radio Fruit Redoubt, segment two, wrapping up here. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name's your name, too. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, don't go away.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's not popular. Born of ignorance, and only a bunch of hicks support the move to split a state. Well, that's funny, because polls with over 10,000 responses, including KXLY, not known as a bastion of conservatism, showed an average of 74% in support. Crosscut, a socialist-leaning publication, said the movement is born of ignorance. They claim that us hicks actually do share the same values, culture, traditions, and heritage as downtown Seattle. Really? We believe the Constitution means what it says, and the Bible is the Word of God. We believe in the sanctity of life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Time and again, Seattle has rejected and repudiated those ideas. The truth is, we are already two states, and the fact they have to ridicule such a popular idea proves it. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republic.
This is segment three of Radio Free Redoubt, and segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to keep you safe and to help you thrive. If you're planning your property with the forethought to integrate the primary needs of water access, food supply, energy production, and security features, which are crucial to the long-term viability of your retreat or your homestead, you need help with that stuff, give them a call. Or if you are buying property and you want somebody to look it over, that's also a service that they provide to help you even make the decision when you're trying to figure out which one is right for you as far as property goes. So strategiclandscapedesign.com. All right. Now, these next two segments are from a presentation that I did. It's about 90 minutes long, but I specifically took some parts out where I was addressing Liberty State and then just, you know, kind of the status of where we are right now in our country. I did not get into the the insurgency, the civil war that the left is, or the revolution that the communists are trying to foment in our country. I didn't touch on that, but I have a lot of materials that I've been going through this week, and something I want to address in the next couple of weeks. Now, of course, we're going to have a T-Rex coming up in just 2 weeks, Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise 2018. We are going to be talking about that as an after-action review, you know, in 2 weeks. That'll be that week of the 22nd. Will be a Teotihuacan readiness exercise, kind of an after action review. And so we're looking forward to that. And of course, you know, news and commentary and everything. So lots to learn. Thank you guys for being out there, just being diligent, keeping the mission of AMRON going as well. Those of you that are radio operators involved in that network, thank you guys. So, okay. So this is from the presentation from last Saturday, 1 week ago and a day, at God and Country Celebration up in Marble, Washington. We also have to educate ourselves. We do not. I'll tell you what. I was really illiterate as far as our heritage, our American heritage, our history, the Constitution, the Federalist Papers. I was like, what's that? I didn't even know. I've learned more just starting Radio Free Redoubt. Second Amendment, right? Don't take my guns. I knew that one. But other than that, I was illiterate. I could not engage
intelligently with the people who are throwing arguments against what you know is right, we think is right, but you can't articulate it because you don't even know the Constitution or the history yourselves. When they come to you and go, well, Thomas Jefferson, oh, the slave owner, he wasn't a slave owner, was he? And then, so we're not prepared to respond to those types of things. We don't even know the Constitution ourselves or the spirit and intent behind the Constitution. So we've got to educate. We've got some work to do. We've got a lot of work to do. I mean, it's easy to get people fired up and say, yeah, I'd love to have Liberty State, 51st state. But then when the leftists come up with the arguments, they don't know how to counter it. They don't even know that it's a lie, that they're being lied to. So they can't counter a lie. They don't even recognize it for what it is. So we need to educate ourselves on our heritage. 90% of what I've learned is because of my involvement in the political battles that we're in now and doing Radio Free Redoubt. When I have to do a show, I have to make myself research topics and the law and the back law and the history behind it and some discussion between two founding fathers, how they reached some certain conclusion. I'm like, I never knew that. I never knew that. And then I realized how much I didn't know. I'm conservative, but I couldn't present any type of argument. I didn't even know where to go to get the research material or where to get the ammo that I needed to counter these things. And I knew they were wrong. I knew they were lies. So there's a couple of things, some resources that I was hoping to be able to convey to you today. I'm going to do that now. One, actually there's a few. You guys heard of Chris Ann Hall from Liberty First? Okay. Very popular, very prolific constitutional attorney, former military. She was in military intelligence, and she's a disabled vet now. She and her husband are both veterans. He's a pastor. And she is an expert on America's history and early history, like pre-Revolutionary War, all the way back to England and common law and the progression of these documents from Magna Carta even before and all the way through. All of the documents and all the teachings and all of the education that influenced our founding fathers. They didn't make up the Constitution and everything in it. All that's in the Constitution, as brilliant as they are, they didn't make that up. They took pieces they were influenced by Plato's Republic, all the way up to the Magna Carta and the something of rights with the king back in England, common law. This influenced John Locke was another one. Influenced the founding fathers, and so what we see with the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution is a culmination of 200 years of education from the first time that the Christians landed on our shores in the 1600s, in the 15th and 1600s, all the way up until the Revolutionary War. Our country's not just 200 years old. It's almost 500 years old. Well, 400 years old. Because the pilgrims, the Puritans, and the colonies that they were establishing, amazing, fascinating history. But that all influenced our founding fathers, and we've forgotten about that. So, Chris Ann Hall and Liberty First is a great resource. Her podcasts talk about the constitutionality of different, current issues, current events, and how those apply to the law of the land, the Constitution, and our history, and the Federalist Papers, and all of that for proper understanding about the lawfulness of things that our government's doing or not doing. And then, of course, all of our materials, lots of history. We need to know, as patriots, we need to know our heritage. We don't even know our own heritage. All throughout the Bible, God was telling the people, make a little stone pillar, a little pile of rocks right here for this thing that I did for you today, so that when your children and grandchildren go, what's that pile of rocks for? You can go, oh, so glad you asked. That's when God did this thing for us to help us across this river and protected us on this, provided that for us. And so you can remember. So you don't forget your heritage and where you came from and who you are. Because if you lose that, anybody can walk in and say, here's the new rules. This is the way things are now from this point forward. And you go, I don't really like it. Well, too bad. It's the way it is. And they create a new normal. And you can't even counter it because you don't even know who you are. So somebody else comes along and defines you. But now, if you're educated, you can say, wait, that's not American. That's matter of fact, that's not even un-American. That's anti-American. You're changing the rules. You're walking in here with, we're playing life and you're trying to use Monopoly money. You're changing the game. We know the rules, right? So if you don't know, they can redefine it and shift things right in front of you and you don't even realize what they're doing. You don't realize how unlawful some of the stuff our own government's doing. You don't know how to counter it. Now, there's something that I love dearly, and that, so my Patriots Bible, and that was my favorite Bible for, I don't know, the last couple of years. My main one is a MacArthur Study Bible. That's my daily reader. But I would love all the history and about our American history that's woven through it. But there's another one that I discovered, and it's been on my to-buy list for a long time, what I really wanted to get. And a listener, a radio listener, bought this for me as a gift just recently. And this is called The Founder's Bible, the Origin of the Dream of Freedom. And it is from wall builders. So we need to know where we came from. Wall builders, taken from Nehemiah when they went back to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem after they left captivity and they left Babylon and returned to Israel. Okay, and Nehemiah headed up the effort to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Okay, so these guys, they started, it was returning to their roots. That's what it was. Getting back to God, rebuilding Jerusalem, rebuilding, restoring the glory of Jerusalem, you know, the city, you know, God's city. And the first thing that was necessary to do was to rebuild the walls. So they started their ministry called Wall Builders. I think it's really appropriate. Getting back to our here, restoring the glory, the previous glory that was, you know, God's glory was in that. Well, same thing with America. So wallbuilders.com, they have a weekly podcast and they have a ton of resources for children, teens, and adults. Everything you could want to know about our heritage, our history, and our future even as a nation from a Christian perspective. So put that on your list, Wall Builders, as another resource. Now, one of the things, let's see, here's another thing too. Hillsdale College. If you're not familiar with Hillsdale College, it's a real college online. And they actually have a campus, a physical campus, where you can go to college. But they're talking about possibly even getting rid of that altogether just because the cost of running a campus is so huge. But it kind of gives you your legitimacy as a college to have a campus that you can actually go to. But like 90%+ of their tuition and their students, everything is online. But go to hillsdale.edu, I believe it is. They've got free college courses. The professors that will take you through the Constitution, through the Federalist Papers, our Christian heritage, the founding of America, pre-Revolutionary War American history, all this stuff, college level. Now, you can take paid courses, of course, but if you just go there and look at the free online courses, it is a wealth of information. It just keeps going. As long as if you got the time, you're retired, or you can squeeze in an hour or two a week to sit there and watch through these seminars. They're videos. Sit there and listen to them and interact. Questionnaires and things like that at the end. So you can really get engaged and learn about your heritage. Hillsdale College. So there's three right there for you. Now, if you can only just get one resource, This was just an amazing gift that I cannot even get enough of. The Founder's Bible. The Founder's Bible. And all through it, all through here, it's rich with American heritage and our history. Things were different things that we didn't know about our heritage and how strong our Christian roots are and how we are lied to and don't even know it. Before we can even start, I'll tell you what, we don't have the caliber of people to start a new republic. We just don't have enough. We don't have enough of the kind of people that are cut from the same cloth as the founding fathers. So we're going to have to create them. But when our country was founded, really, there were not a lot of people that were like the founding fathers anyway, just because they were contemporaries or they lived at the same time. Most people were checked out. They didn't care. The rule of thirds. Okay, a third wanted to follow the crown of England. A third wanted independence. And a third said, I don't care. I just want to make shoes and go home at the end of the day and have a beer. Right? And among the third, you've got this very small sliver of very dedicated people that we know of today as the founding fathers who gave it all for us to have our country today. And we can learn from them. It's all right there. They had to create a lot of, they were making the map. We already have the map. We have history to look back to see, you know, their arguments, their thinking. So just a couple things I want to, what did I want to, oh, where is it? I mean, I'm just passionate about this because I realized how much I didn't know and how exciting it is. The more I know, the more exciting it becomes for me. And I want to like pour that on you, you know, to have that same passion. Now, of course, I know a lot of you guys are already there. What is constitutional? This is and the stuff that's in here usually corresponds with the scripture. And it'll be like the application of that scripture and how it influenced something that the founding fathers did or said or how they wrote a law or something that they did that is reflective of something that maybe King David did or one of the prophets or something like that. And it's just how they were influenced, these godly men who are influenced by the word of God. Or how they implemented things that are biblical principles. Even though they didn't mention the Bible, it is a very strong biblical principle. And they'll have that little piece of history right there along with that scripture. And so it's like our American Christian nation heritage is woven all through the Word of God here. So it's pretty fascinating stuff. So when you talk about law and the role of government, well, it talks, you'll have arguments from the founding fathers about what America's role in government is. You can see how the scriptures influenced the founding fathers' ideas of what type of government we should have and what it is to govern. Just having a constitution in general. The constitution is a simple and straightforward document. It is easy to understand and can be read in 20 minutes. Yet today we are regularly told that it is complicated and that only those with the highest legal acumen, such as judges and attorneys, can interpret it. How many times have we heard this? But it's not true. The Constitution is so easy to understand that for decades after the American founding, all school students, including elementary ones, regularly took an annual written test on the Constitution's content. And popular student texts included the 1828 Catechism on the Constitution by Arthur Stansberry, a work for elementary students. It was written so that elementary students could understand it. Even the overall nature of the Federalist Papers testifies to the simplicity of the Constitution. Those papers were written in 1787 through 1788, the Federalist Papers. You should get a copy of it. You can get them on PDF with PDFs now for free off the internet. Those papers were written by three prominent founding fathers. James Madison, who also drafted the Constitution. Do you guys know that? Alexander Hamilton and John Jay. And contrary to modern perception, the Federalist Papers are not filled with complicated and intricate legal arguments that only judges and attorneys can understand, but rather were articles written in local New York newspapers to explain to the average farmer of 1787 every clause of the Constitution and just how the new government would operate. Did you guys know what the Federalist Papers even are? It's a collection of newspaper articles by these three founders to explain to the average citizen each component of our Constitution. And so when our Supreme Court justices are making rulings, they're not looking at the spirit and intent of that portion of the Constitution. They completely do things that are opposed to the Constitution where it suits them. So we need to understand this stuff. And this is just an awesome, really awesome resource. It's just, for me, it was just a huge blessing. Huge. Huge. I'm always wanting to pick it up and flip through it and read, you know, the scripture next to this little thing on history. Sometimes 3 or 4 or 5 pages of American history, you know, right in the middle of the book of Judges or something like that. And it's applicable. It ties it together. Fascinating. Somebody got really offended at that. It's like, this is like blasphemy to like put stuff that's not the Word of God in the Word of God. Like, man, there's some uptight people out there. They missed the whole point. So they're not changing the Word of God. They're not, it doesn't make this little story that I just read to you about constitutional and the founding fathers putting nobody's claiming that's the Word of God. Anyway, I'm grateful for the work that they did on this. Now, here's the other thing too. And I don't know really how to overcome this. You're saying, how do we get that spark? People got to want it bad enough. And they're not going to want it bad enough until they're hurting bad enough. They're just not. I watched a horrible film, Taken on the Street, where in South Africa they captured some guy and they burned him alive. And they put a tire around his neck and they poured gasoline inside of it and they lit it. Now, it was strange to me that this guy the whole time was, his hands were tied and they're like leading him around like a dog and he's just like shuffling around. He's just kind of like got really no look on his face. And they put the tire on his head and he's like, then he's just standing there and they're pouring gasoline. And he's just like this. Now, he tried like getting away and they tug him. And he's like, oh, all right. I'm like, dude, right now, with the guys over there going with the match, why are you not fighting for your life like never before right now? Are you afraid they're going to punch you in the face? I mean, kicking, fighting, biting, scratching, headbutting. I mean, just become a wild animal at that moment. But no, not until they lit the match and went, pfft. That dude, they could not hold him still. He was flopping and running. They're running, trying to grab him. They're trying to yank on the rope, and he's just like too powerful for him. He was going absolutely ballistic into the crowd and everything else. They're trying to stop the guy, and then finally they get him down on the ground, and he's just rolling around, just whole face is whole. He's like a flaming marshmallow. Why do we have to wait until they throw the match on the gasoline before we decide to start fighting like there's no tomorrow? I don't understand it. But those of us who are freaks. You guys eat, sleep, breathe, patriot this, patriot blah, blah. You need to live life. I'm like, there's a match coming. Do you not see that? But maybe it's a God thing. He gifts some people with the vision to be able to see that. Or maybe it's a curse. Everybody else gets to live in oblivion. I don't know. I kind of wish I could go back to not knowing. the red pill, man, once you take it, you can't go back. So until we get people hurting enough, they're not going to. So we just have to be ready to scoop them up. When they're ready, we just got to be there. When they go, oh, it's crazy. What do we do? What do we do? Say, so glad you asked. Put them to work. That's the best that we can do. Yeah.
You hear a lot in conversations over here about people making mention of the tyranny of the west side of the state.
Yes.
Which is an opportunity to get that conversation going. So I hear complaints all the time.
Yep.
From people about the tyranny of the other side of the state, how it doesn't fit with our lifestyle. And those are opportunities to continue that conversation.
One of my complaints is that we are not nearly enough exploiting those opportunities. And I've been hounding on this. This is another thing too. And I got to give some grace here because Liberty State is so new. Matt Shea's been putting forward legislation for the last, what, two, maybe three sessions to try to get them to vote on separating. Of course, it's a laughing joke, right? Nobody takes it seriously. It never gets out of committee. But he's like, that's okay. For the record, let's start this process. I'm taking it seriously. I'm entering this bill. And they're like, oh, okay, whatever. They're not taking it seriously yet. But we just got the website. We just got a flag. That's a beautiful flag. I love all the symbology of it. It's just amazing. And it's starting to build momentum, and that's exciting. But I get frustrated because we've got a website there now, and we've got a Facebook page, and why aren't we not exploiting? Every time a wolf kills a flipping sheep, why are we not plastering it up there? Why every time when somebody is being threatened or charged to have their business taken from them because of they're basically being persecuted for their religious beliefs, for they're facing criminal charges because they refuse to be compelled to violate their own moral conscience. Why are we not exploiting? Everything should be like, I mean, every week there should be one or two, three things being posted up there. But it takes volunteers. We need help. We need people to step up. And here's the problem. Going back to where I was leading into, and people aren't going to act until they're hurting enough. But we had some participation. Now, in Liberty State, the committee, we've had people begging to be on that committee. But you got to be careful who gets, I mean, you get hijacked pretty easy, right? So you know the vision that you've got for what Liberty State should be, the Constitution, the value of, I mean, we're all in agreement with the mission statement of that. But there are people that would love to be part of the Constitution Drafting Committee. Now, there are people that are on those committees, and they don't show up. Look, guys, we're forming a new republic. This is a privilege and an honor. How can you not want to be a part of this? Now, we have a mandatory meeting next Wednesday. Everybody there. Mandatory. It's not optional. You better be dead or you better be in an ambulance on the way to the hospital. So 2.5 hours before we get a text. Oh, sorry, I got a birthday party I got to go to. Somebody said, oh, going to Wenatchee, that's pretty far. Isn't it supposed to rain? There might be some snow. I'm going to read to you something out of my founder's Bible. You guys heard of Caesar Rodney? Before the Revolution, Rodney served as a soldier, sheriff, member of Delaware Assembly, and the justice on the state Supreme Court. He was sent as a representative to the Continental Congress, but was called away on June 22, 1776, to attend an urgent issue in his state. He later received emergency notification that his vote for the approving the Declaration of Independence was crucial. Now, they got the time and the sequence of this out of place. This guy has bone cancer that's eating his face. He later received the notification that his vote for approving the Declaration of Independence was critical. So he rode 80 miles through both blistering heat and a sudden thunder and lightning storm, pouring down rain and mud, 80 miles on a horse. finally arriving, covered in mud, just in time to cast his deciding vote to swing Delaware in favor of independence. During the Revolution, he served as a major general in the military and then became president, or the governor, of Delaware. Shortly after the Revolution, he died from his cancer, which for 10 years had consumed both his face and his health. So it just really pisses me off when somebody can't be at something like this that they're told is mandatory because they got a birthday party to go to, or they don't want to drive 80 miles in a nice, quiet, heated car because it might snow. So I'm like, where are the patriots? Where are you? Where are you at? Step up. People, if they've got a busy life, no harm, no foul, but don't commit to something and not be there. So what we need is for people to get in there, like Caesar Rodney, and get on their horse and ride through the rain, the snow, and the mud, or whatever it takes to get there to make it happen. That's what it's going to take. Until we got that caliber of men, it's going to be a God thing. It really is going to have to, or people are, they're just going to have to be hurting enough, and they're not. So we continue the mission. We're going to continue to plug people in, and we're going to take the advice of those that are wiser that have gone down the road before us, people who have been involved in nation building. We're not trying to build a nation, but we are trying to build a republic, liberty state. It's perfectly legal to do, and it's, quite frankly, a necessity. Now, I don't see that we have any choice. North Idaho is bursting at the seams right now. There are people in eastern Washington that are saying, I'm so fed up with Olympia, I'm moving to North Idaho. And I'm saying, no, no. Once you stay and fight for liberty and have liberty state, because there's going to be overflow. There's so many people that said, when this happens, I'm moving. I'm taking my business, I'm moving my family, and we are going to relocate to liberty in a heartbeat if it becomes a state. I said, why are you waiting? Do it now. Matter of fact, if you've got a prosperous business, we could use the financial support to make it happen. There's a lot involved. You talk about not knowing what you don't know until you get into something. It's no small task, but it's such an honor to be part of. The people that are committed to it, the most amazing people on earth you'd ever want to work with. Amazing. They'd die for you. So that is very encouraging stuff. And then you guys, you wanted me to talk about what we got here, like 10 minutes? Oh, wow. I was like, what am I going to talk about for 90 minutes? That's like 5 minutes away.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Herbert A. Philbrick.
What is communism? I've been on the inside of communism. From this knowledge, I tell you as simply and seriously as I know how. Communism is a lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, as J. Edgar Hoover says, a criminal conspiracy. I'm choosing these words deliberately. Lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, and it is not an American political party like any other. It's an outlawed organization, taking its orders and instructions from another government to do everything possible to destroy our government. It's an international criminal conspiracy.
This is segment 4 of Radio Free Redoubt, brought to you by Works Holsters, Works LLC. You can learn more about how to get your custom holsters made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products at werkz.com, works.com. Okay, if you're just tuning in late and joining us, especially on the Sunday evening live streaming broadcast, we are in this segment 3 and 4 of tonight's show. I'm re-airing a presentation that I did, which actually was kind of an open forum, a little bit of a question and answer session about some of the stuff going on today in our country. And specifically, they were wanting to learn more about Liberty State because that's where most of them are from. That's up in Marble, Washington. So Liberty State obviously is the eastern portion of Washington State from the Cascades eastward. So we were talking about that, but a lot of good information. Hopefully you guys will appreciate. I did not get a chance to get Friday. They did not record, for some reason, they did not record the presentations that those of us who spoke Friday night gave. So this is from the what kind of a plenary session on Saturday. So that's what you're listening to. I hope you enjoy.
Address that. That's what we're up against. Yes, ma'am. Beautiful question. Her question is, why are we going to form a committee to make a new constitution when why don't we just use the new constitution and just enforce it, follow it, right? Okay, now, if they just followed the constitution that's in place, we wouldn't have any problems, right? The problem is constitutional lawyers have found all kinds of loopholes that our founding fathers didn't conceive of as even being an issue 200 years down the road, or in the case of Washington, 140 years down the road. So Mark Herr from the Center for Self-Governance has literally become a subject matter expert studying every state constitution. And he will say that every single state constitution is riddled with oversights, holes, ways for someone who's evil, that's not a Christian, that's not a patriot, that does not hold the same values, can exploit that. So what he did was he took what he believed, something that would preserve federalism, specifically dual federalism. If you guys don't know what federalism means, is federalism is when you have separate powers, each with their own distinct responsibilities and powers, but that work together but don't encroach into the others. It's very distinct. It's about jurisdiction. And well, now we have the federal government reaching over into the states, saying, claiming we have because of the supremacy clause, we have the right to enforce this thing on you, whatever it might be. Okay, so each one of the state constitutions are just, some of them are a wreck. They're just a mess. And some of them are pretty good, but they're still being like shredded. They're being shredded by constitutional attorneys, leftist communists who have gotten in there. So what he did was he proposed a draft of a constitution that would eliminate a lot of these loopholes. What he did then, he's like our James Madison. James Madison, off by himself, wrote up that's kind of a long history. But anyway, he came up with the Constitution and presented it to the committee of delegates, to the convention. And they started crossing, slash, rip, and he's like, oh, my masterpiece, right? But it's good because some stuff that he had in there was like, just off base. But it was a beautiful starting point. Well, Mark Herr has taken what he believed would be an ideal draft for a constitution, for a state constitution, and he's presented it to this committee of people that Representative Matt Shea has gone around saying, I need some people who's been committing and dedicating themselves to understanding the Constitution, the founding principles of our country, the rule of law, and I need you to go over this Constitution with Mark. And we've been going step by step, ripping and shredding, and we get in some, we're all still friends, and we do it on a internet-based platform usually, a video conferencing, which is a good thing because you can't get a hold of the other person and choke them. But it's very interesting. It's very reminiscent from the things that I've read about the founding fathers and some of the Sometimes they almost went fist to cuffs over issues. And there's been some cases like that here where somebody says, I strongly agree with this. I strongly oppose this. And this is why. And then, and we have to get everything under control and still be friends and remember that we're all on the same team at the end when we walk away and we come back the next week and do it all over again. And it's an amazing, amazing experience. And really what it is going to do is going to put the power back into the hands of the people. It is truly going to be a republican form of governance, like our country is supposed to be, and like we're guaranteed by the 14th Amendment. Guaranteed a Republican form of government. No, I mean Republican, Democrat, like political parties. I mean truly as a republic, because we're shifting more toward democracy, and this is really addressing that. It's incredible to be a part of. So that's why we need to write a whole new, we feel compelled to write a whole new constitution that will be voted on by delegates chosen by the people in each county. Each county is going to have 3 delegates. This is preliminary right now. Each county will have 3 delegates that will be voted on by the people in their county to go forward to represent their county in a convention ratify that the state constitution. It's not going to be anyone. Matt Shea is not going to sit in a corner and come up with and say, these are the new rules, right? But see, that's what the leftists are trying to say. They're trying to disparage the Liberty State Movement, saying we're trying to take it over because most of us are all Christians. That scares the pee out of them. But it's not a Christian caliphate. They're making judgments and they don't even know. Well, they're saying because we don't know, we can only assume. So they're just assuming and they're making asses out of themselves, really, in the attempt to try to make asses out of us. They're communist revolutionaries, they're saboteurs, they're Antifa. So I really don't care what they think. Unfortunately, they are influencing some people that are ignorant and don't know any better. But the truth will come out. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Matt, a little bit ago, remember when, wouldn't it be nice to get back to those days when you were kids and free?
Yeah.
Well, that changed. And the reason why it's changed is because our politicians don't follow the Constitution now.
Okay, you're going to be grateful that I'm on this Constitution Drafting Committee. This has been brought up, and I've pushed for this myself. And this has been a thorn in my side for a long time. So the question is, what are we going to do to keep the people from Liberty State, the government, from abusing power and not following the Constitution and so on and so forth? And this is something that I press very heavily toward. Now, you guys remember, let me preface this first, because I'm a Christian. If you guys remember when Paul was arrested by the centurions, by these Roman soldiers, and they were going to scourge him. That means rip the flesh off his back with whips, right? As punishment. Okay, now, at that time, Roman law was that you could not deprive a citizen of their rights. You could not carry out corporal punishment without a trial, with evidence presented in a formal trial. That was one of the benefits, the privileges of one of the rights of being a Roman citizen. Of course, they just grabbed this Jew. He's preaching this stuff. Got the people all riled up and upset. So they're going to punish him, right? They about ready to start. And he goes, whoa, is it lawful for you to scourge a Roman citizen without a trial? And they went, screech. What? You're a Roman citizen? He says, yeah. He says, some people purchased their citizenship, but I was born. What was that? Oh. He said, I was born a Roman citizen. In other words, you're damn right I'm a Roman citizen. And what you're about ready to do is unlawful. And these guys freaked out. You know why? Because if you had violated a citizen's rights, it was the death penalty, or at least imprisonment. They were fearful of violating a citizen's rights in the Roman Empire. Being a citizen carried so much. It was a privilege and an honor. It's something that made you proud of, something that made you stand up and walk tall. Oh yeah, I'm a Roman citizen. Those rights were protected. I said, there's no fear. Remember last night we're talking about when I was speaking about Pastor Barry mentioning the Black Robe Regiment, and the British didn't like him. They hated him, and they were fearful of the Black Robe Regiment. The pastors at that time, they were part of the Black Robe. They called them the Black Robe because they were fearful. But today, are they fearful of the Black Robe Regiment? Are they fearful of pastors today? Why? They're not fearful of anything. There's no consequences. We got a BLM agent pulling a gun, firing on a woman with her hands in the air from behind. Round goes through her hand, grazes her head. Is he afraid? He's on paid administrative leave right now. And this is a pattern of abuse. This is not an isolated incident. This is a pattern. Why? Because there's no consequences. So, to your question, I said there has to be the fear of God be put into these elected officials, statesmen of any capacity. If you are an agent of the government, elected or otherwise, and you knowingly violate the rights of a citizen, heads are going to roll. Now, if I had my way, it would be the death penalty. It's going to be a hard sell. Okay, so then we put it right in the Constitution. We've been through this part already. Shall be guilty of a felony. Now, the legislature will decide what that punishment is, but you will never serve in public office again. You're going to face fines. You're going to face charges. And that's the kind of stuff. We need to strike fear into the statesmen, the elected officials, or the agents in the government who knowingly violate the Constitution. One example, and this is what really sparked this for me. Over in Coeur d'Alene City, they had a no firearms ordinance within 100 feet or 200 feet of a parade. So they were challenged on this. Even the city attorney said, yeah, this is technically illegal. This is unconstitutional. So this guy, what was his name? On the city, I did a segment on this on the show. So his response is, well, then they can file a lawsuit, and if they win, then we'll repeal the ordinance. So basically, their attitude is, sue me. We're going to leave this ordinance in place. We're going to require that our police department enforce it until somebody challenges it and wins. Then we'll remove the ordinance. They are not one bit afraid of violating your rights. And the attitude's sue me. So guess what? If you knowingly violate a citizen's rights, the first person that gets arrested for having a firearm within a parade route, and you upheld and defended that law after knowingly put that in place, knowing that it would violate a citizen's rights, that it was unlawful, you decided to stand by and keep in place an unlawful law. You knowingly violated the law. You shall be guilty of a felony. You're going to prison. For a county, for a city official to be fully informed that he has supported and implemented something that's unlawful and still continued without repenting, you're going to prison. And so they said, awesome point, let's put it in. So they put it in the Constitution, the Liberty State Constitution. Now, that was just me pressing for this because I'm so passionate about this. There is no fear. The Roman soldiers, when you go, I'm a citizen, they're like, yeah, tell it to the judge. Woo, that's what we're getting. There's no fear.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen, from God and Country last weekend. I hope you guys have a blessed week. Thank you so much for your support. We need your support, your prayers, your letters of encouragement. And I got something that was extremely encouraging. I'm not sure how much I can talk about. I know this was meant for me as a very personal thing, but there's some things in here that could be sensitive. So I don't want to really read any of the details, but I was given a flag that this is the kind of stuff that's just so moving for me and so humbling for me. This week, I received a box in the mail from the folks over at the P.O. box delivered to me. And it has a folded, beautifully folded American flag. And I'll read you this much. I'm going to get a shadow box for this, and I'm going to proudly display this with a certificate. Our nation's flag is presented to John Jacob Schmidt. This American flag was flown in your honor on board, or redact this next part, during a combat mission over Afghanistan on 25 June of 2018 by an aircrew of Task Force. Once again, I'll redact that because I don't know if I can say it. While it flew, the flag symbolized the sovereign power of the United States of America and the unshakable resolve to defend our country and values. We are one nation under God. This is a certificate with a beautiful picture of this. It's a special operations aircraft, signed by the whole crew and given to me. I'll just read the first part of this. John Jacob, enclosed, please find this U.S. flag. It was flown by myself and crew on a combat mission over Afghanistan in direct support of our troops on the ground, Summer 18 series, by the way. And that's Special Forces soldiers, Army Special Forces. I realize it's rather impersonal not to include a shadow box or a frame, but due to logistics here, as well as many people's desire to display how they would prefer with their decor, I'm leaving that part up to you. Long-time listener, last couple of years of Radio Free Redoubt, and also an Amron Corps member, and I can't tell you how grateful that I am for those of you serving in the military, continuing the mission, laying it on the line, and I just really appreciate you guys being out there. And for you, I have no problem. I'll take it from here. I will definitely get a nice shadow box for this and proudly display it in Studio A, or the new Studio A, later this summer when I get a new Studio A. And this really means a lot. I can't tell you how much this listening audience has meant to me, especially in this last year that I've gone through the most challenging times of my life by far. And, you know, through the grieving process, through the recovery process, the healing, and then the next chapter is the rebuilding. So anyway, this kind of stuff really means a lot. I don't have the words to say how much this really means to me, but guys, you stay safe out there. Thank you for defending America's interests, and, just thank you for your patriotism. God bless you guys in uniform that are serving right now. So, with that, you all have a blessed week, and I'll be praying over all of you as well. So this is John Jacob Schmidt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, well, my name is your name too. And I'm proud to be counted among you all. Good night.